these verses. So Exodus 33. But I want you to, as couples, it sounds kind of odd, but I want you to think of this retreat of, as you're up here, as a marriage retreat of more than just a marriage retreat. I know that that's what it is, and that's what you've come up for. You want to be blessed by the Lord. You want to enrich your marriage. You want to walk away with tools that you might have to help your marriage out. But I want you to think about this retreat, this maybe just this weekend, just a little bit more, and just add this to your thought process, and just think about the glory of God. Like, what's that mean? What's that look like? I mean, you've come down from the valley. You know, we're in the city for the most part, and we're coming up to these mountains, and we're seeing the glory of God as we come up. You know, we're seeing mountain goats, and we're seeing wildlife. We're seeing these trees. We're seeing the mountains. We're seeing the rocks. We're seeing all this glory that God has, and that's a small portion of God's glory. So as we're thinking about this weekend, and as you had time, and as you have time at night, maybe wake up in the morning, and I want you to think about the glory of God. And what came across is, I'll read this verse to you, then I'm going to backtrack. There in Exodus 33, in verse 18, this is Moses talking. He says, and he said, "Please show me your glory." It's like Moses is seeing God's glory to some extent, and we're going to look at that. But now this is like an earnest plea for Moses. It's a beg. It's a word that's beseeched to beg and to look for earnestly and to desire deeply. But the scene is this. You know, as we walk into Exodus 33, you got to realize that Moses just came down from Mount Sinai. The Lord was talking to him in the storm there in the clouds, and the people even saw that and heard the noise. Didn't necessarily hear God's word, but heard speaking. And so the Lord is talking to Moses, and Moses comes down from Mount Sinai, and he sees this golden calf that's been erected from the people because they got tired of seeing, you know, Moses being up on the Mount Sinai and say, "Well, who is this? You know, we need to make a god." And so now Moses comes down, and as we know that Moses takes those tablets and throws them on the ground. He's frustrated with the people. And at that point, you know, there's a consequence of sin. It was, you know, 3,000 people died because of that. And there was sin in the camp. There was deep sin in the camp. And so I want you to have that picture. The reason I say that is because if you look at verse 7, it says this. It says, "Moses took his tent and pitched it outside the camp, far from the camp, and called it the Tabernacle of Meetings. And it came to pass that everyone who sought the Lord went out to the tabernacle, the meeting, which was outside the camp." And so now the Lord is going to be appearing to Moses. And he's going to be appearing to him in a sense of in a cloud, in a pillar of a cloud. And so Moses did that because he had to get outside. He had to get outside the camp because there was sin in the camp. And he wanted to spend time with God. It's almost like he missed that time there on Mount Sinai. He had these days that he was up there, and he missed that time with God. So now Moses goes, "You know what? I want that time again." And so now Moses takes his tent. It's just a place. This is not the tabernacle. This is just a place that Moses set up, his tent. And this is where God met with Moses for a time. And this is how the scene looked. Let's look at verse 8 and we'll go on down. It says, "So it was whenever Moses went out into the tabernacle that all the people rose, and each man stood at his tent door and watched Moses until he had gone into the tabernacle. And it came to pass when Moses entered the tabernacle that the pillar of cloud descended and stood at the door of the tabernacle, and the Lord talked with Moses. All the people saw the pillar of cloud standing at the tabernacle door, and all the people arose and worshipped, each man at his tent door." And that's me. That's where we should have been. That's where they should have been a long time ago. And now they're getting a glimpse of the glory of God, just a small glimpse of the glory of God. And let's read on. It's in verse 11. It says, "So the Lord spoke to Moses face to face as a man speaks to his friend. And we returned to the camp. But his servant Joshua, the son of Nun, a young man, did not depart from the tabernacle." And so now Moses is talking to the Lord face to face. And in that face to face, what that means is this, that God and Moses had a deep, intimate conversation. It was a dialogue that Moses had with God, like God, excuse me, that the Lord had with Moses. And as they're talking back and forth, and they're going back and forth. Not like now where we have a monologue. We talk to God, and we feel the presence of God in our lives, and God talks to us through his word. But this is a conversation that Moses had with the Lord. And so now Moses is enjoying this time. And now Joshua was the man that was stood by the Lord all the time. You remember Joshua was the one that was up there with Moses, you know, halfway down the mountain. And Moses is coming down. He says, there's a bunch of noise in the camp. And so they'd go down and deal with that. Joshua was always with Moses, always learning from Moses. And that's where we need to be in our lives, too. Who is a person in your life that you can look at and say, you know what? I want to see what you're doing, what's going on in your marriage, what's going on in your life. And ask them and just spend time with that person, spend time with the Lord. And that's what Moses was doing here. So let's read on. It says in verse 12, it says, then Moses said to the Lord, see, you say to me, bring up these people, but you have not let me know whom you will send with me. Yet you have said, I know you by name, and you have also found grace in my sight. Don't we want to find grace in God's sight? Who wants grace in their life? We all do, right? We want to have grace in our lives because we want to apply it to our mate when that time comes. That we need to have that grace in our lives because God desires to give us grace and mercy in our lives. Let's read on. It says in verse 13, it says, now therefore I pray, if I have found grace in your sight, show me now your way that I may know you and that I may find grace in your sight. And consider this, the nations of your people. It's like God wants to work in Moses' life. Moses wants to just hear from the Lord. And as he's spending time away from the camp, he's spending time with the Lord, and he's standing and he's hearing the glory of God talk to him. But yet there's still yet a longing and a desire for Moses in his life. And in verse 14 it says, and he said, my presence will go with you, and I will give you rest. Like God's presence will go with us, guys, no matter what it may be. Through the hard times, through the good times, through the difficult times, especially during this time of this retreat, right? We get away from work. We get away from the hustle and the bustle of the kids and life to some degree, and we're coming up here, and we're just refreshed. That's why I encouraged you to take your phones and just, if you can, just turn them off. Spend time with the Lord. Hear from the Lord what God has for you. Verse 15, it says this, then he said to him, if your presence does not go with us, do not bring us up from here. For how then will it be known that your people and I have found grace in your sight, except that you go with us? So we shall be separate. And this is really cool. It says, your people and I from all the people who are upon the face of the earth. Like we're supposed to be separate. As believers in the Lord, we are separate for God's kingdom. We are separate to do God's work in our lives. In 17, it says this, then the Lord said to Moses, I will also do these things that you have spoken, for you have found grace in my sight, and I know you by name. God knows us by name. Isn't that cool? I love that. I love that God knows me so intimate and so personal. That's one way. The other way is this. I want to know God so much more. I want to know God's glory so much more in my life. See, when we receive Christ, Jesus Christ, into our life, we have all the presence of God in our life. The only thing that really hinders us from the Lord is what? Sin. Ourselves, right? This flesh, right? And so I want you to really seek the glory of God. This is Moses' prayer. And he said, please show me your glory. How many of us ever prayed that prayer? Like really deep down prayer, like, God, I want to see more of you. Because you got to understand that Moses has already seen the glory of God, right? The people have seen the glory of God. They've seen it in the pillar of fire. They've seen it in the pillar of cloud. They've seen it, and Moses has seen it in the burning bush. They've seen God's power in the parting of the Red Sea. So they have seen all these things. And I think the same thing in our lives. We've seen God's glory to some extent. You know, we've seen God work in our marriages. We've seen God work in our family lives. We've seen God's, just his glory. The Bible says you can look at nature and say that there's a God. Like, man, this is awesome. This is God's creation, that God created even this nature right here. And the same thing in our lives. And it's like Moses has that desire in his life to see God's glory. And that'd be my prayer for everyone here, is that we would say, you know what? I just want to see God's glory in my life. I want to see God's glory in my marriage. And that you would truly seek that this weekend. If that takes time to just be away, and even just go away just for, you know, half hour, even just by yourself, you say, well, man, it's a marriage retreat. I know. But if you seek that glory in your life personally, I guarantee your marriage will be a lot better. You'll come away more humbled. I mean, when you look at those tubs right down there, those are tubs that are going to humble you, I hope. You're going to wash your wife's and your husband's feet. You think that, well, I've never done that before. And some of you might be like Peter, not washing my feet, Lord. You know, it's like, wow, why not? It's pretty humbling to wash. How many people have washed your wife's or your husband's feet? Well, good. I'm going to ask that same question Sunday morning. Okay? So I encourage you to wash each other's feet. It's a very humbling thing. And as we look into that message, I'm going to give a short little message on that. But, you know, it's like that's a humbling thing. But back to seeing the glory of God. It's like, don't we desire to see that? I want to encourage you just to maybe even just start praying that prayer. And if it's something that you just say, you know what, Lord, I don't know what this means, but I just want to see your glory in my life personally. Just you and the Lord, one-on-one, God's glory. And start praying that prayer and see what God does in your life. See what God does in your marriage. Because I guarantee you it'll start changing. In Psalm 63:1, it says this, O God, you are my God. Early I will seek you. My soul thirsts for you. My flesh longs for you. In a dry and thirsty land where there is no water. So I have looked for you in the sanctuary to see your power and your glory. Like, do we long for that? It says, I thirst for you. Do we thirst for the Lord? Do we hunger for the Lord? You know, in our dry and thirsty land, like our workplace and the things that we just encounter in everyday life, man, that can weigh us down in itself, can't it? Would you guys agree with that? Like, it does. And like your time up here is just, it's just, again, it's just a weekend. We have Friday, Saturday, and we go back Sunday. So really about 48 hours, if that, by the time you get back down to work and back down to your home and just back down to the routine of things. But I want to encourage you this, even in your routine, even in the mundane things that we do on an everyday basis, that we seek God's glory in everything, that we set those things aside and say, you know what, Lord, I know I got to do this task, but I want to wake up early and I want to seek you, Lord. I want to hunger for you, Lord. And if you don't have that hunger and that thirst for the Lord, my encouragement is this, start praying about it. Because I think we all go through that time in our lives where you say, you know what, I just don't feel like reading. I'm tired. You get overwhelmed with just life sometimes. You get overwhelmed with kids sometimes. You get overwhelmed with marriage sometimes. And it's just like, it's so draining sometimes. But you know what, we got to be like David, right? When David came back from the camp there, from the Philistines' camp, you know, he came back and his own town was wrecked, and they raided it, took everybody, took everything, the spoil and all that. And it said this, it says that even his own men wanted to kill David. Like, wow. Like, David was by himself. You know what the Bible says? It says that David strengthened himself in the Lord. So if you have no one else to strengthen you, you strengthen yourself in the Lord. In Acts 4:13, it says this, Now when they saw the boldness of Peter and John, and perceived that they were uneducated and untrained men. Well, that's a kind of a slap there, huh? But listen to the last part of this. They marveled, and they realized that they had been with Jesus. Do people see that you've been with Jesus in your workplace? Whatever you do, I want you to know that people should see Jesus in you. Because sometimes that's the only Bible they're going to read. And I think sometimes the only way we're going to be able to do that is by asking God to say, Lord, show me your glory. I want you guys to start praying about that. And I'll leave you with this one little verse here in John 12:20. It says this, Now there were certain Greeks among those who came up to worship at the feast. And they came to Philip, who was from Bethsaida of Galilee. And they asked him, saying, This is cool. And this is something we should be saying the same thing. Sir, we wish to see Jesus. Don't you guys want to see Jesus? Man, that'd be the highlight of my life. And any pastor or any believer, when you lead somebody to the Lord and they accept Christ as their Lord and their Savior, that you can't describe it. You can't describe it. That somebody that comes to know Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior, that their name gets written in the book of life. And it says that the heavens rejoice, the angels rejoice over one sinner who repents. And so if there's anybody here today, even this weekend, that if you don't have that relationship with Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, we're going to have a time of prayer on Saturday night. You can have a time right now. And the simple prayer is this: Lord, forgive me of my sins. I invite Jesus Christ, I invite your Son into my life to change me. And that's it. And you live that life as a believer. So my encouragement to you that if you are here and you don't know the Lord, that if you want to talk about it, you can talk to any one of us. You can talk to any one of the believers here too. These are just tags to identify the prayer team. But you know, if you need prayer, talk to the brother or sister next to you. If you want somebody to ask them about that relationship with Jesus, talk to them next to you. Because it's all about Jesus Christ and about seeing his glory in our lives and what he wants to do. He wants to change our lives drastically. Okay? And as you get these tools, and as Ben and Judy come up here and share, they're going to give you tools. And you're going to grab those tools. You're going to say, well, what's this? It's a Phillips screwdriver. Well, what do you do with a Phillips screwdriver? Well, you take off screws. What kind of screws? Phillips screws, right? And so you just kind of look at it and say, okay, well, I don't know how to use this tool. But then you start using that tool. And so as you walk away from here, this retreat, I encourage you to walk away with all these tools that you have in your hands, and you use them throughout your whole life, throughout your whole marriage, because marriage is supposed to be for a lifetime. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. I'm going to close in prayer, and I'll come back and explain the tub there. Father, we thank you, Lord, for this time. We thank you for blessing us and enriching our lives and just showing us, Lord, your glory, Lord. Lord, whether it be in nature, whether it be in our personal lives, whether you speak to us, Lord, through your word, through Ben and Judy, through worship, through another couple, whatever it may be, that you would just show your presence with us, Lord. I get so excited one day, someday, Lord, we're going to see your glory in fullness, that as we go to heaven, Lord, we're going to see that. And it says, Lord, that every knee shall bow and every tongue confess that Jesus is Lord. And that's who you are, your Lord. And I just thank you, Lord, for what you're going to do in these couples' lives, Lord. I pray for humility, Lord, that they would humble themselves, Lord, as they read through the information on the foot washing, and that you'd use that time, Lord, to bring humility to the wives, bring humility to the husbands, and that they would talk over these things. It just wouldn't be a thing of duty. It would be a thing of desire in their lives. So, Father, we thank you for the work that you're going to do, and we want to trust in you for all things, Lord God. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay. The bucket's there. Jesus gave us that example, right? As some of you know, I've got to do it real quick. My wife stood up, and I'm going over. So, anyways, I told her to stand up, so it's my fault. Anyways, the buckets are there for the foot washing, okay? And what's that going to do? There's a little scroll in there that's going to tell you, give an example of what foot washing is. If you haven't read it before, I encourage you guys to just go through it. Spend some time either tonight, tomorrow night, or, you know, whenever it may be. I'm not going to ask you on Sunday, so don't worry about it. I want you to do it with a desire in your heart. Don't do it to say, well, I'm just going to raise my hand because Matt's asked me. I want you guys to really do it, okay? Because back in the days when the disciples had their foot washed, we know that the roads were dirty. We know that they weren't paved, and we know all those things. But when I was reading on this, it's a little bit more. It surprised me. It's like the houses that didn't have servants, that they didn't have the money for a servant to wash the feet as the people came in. What surprised me is this, as a group of people came in, the first one in the door is the one that usually took on that servanthood. It's usually the one that took it on. So like if we were to go in a group and I stepped in the door first, I'd be the one that would have to get down the bucket and wash the people as they come in, wash their feet as they came in. And Jesus said, as they were eating, you know, they were lounging around. And Jesus just finally got up, took off his gown, not a gown, I won't say gown, but his tunic. There you go. Thanks, Pastor Ben. Took off his tunic, you know, got down and started washing his disciples' feet. You know, and that's a sign of humility. And that's, to me, it's like, man, that's an example that we need to have in our lives. And you know, when we read that, we say, well, that was great. That was Jesus. Well, Jesus said this when he got down toward the end. He says this in verse 13 of chapter 13 of John. It says, you call me teacher and Lord, and ye say, well, for so I am. If I then, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, you also ought to wash one another's feet. For I have given you an example that you should do as I have done to you. And so that's an example that Christ said. It wasn't an example to go, well, that's good, that's humility, that was Jesus. No, Jesus was a man just like us. And he set the example. He's the one that got up. And he was, you got to understand that this is God in the flesh washing his disciples' feet. That's humility. And it takes a lot. I don't know if you guys have experienced that before. But sometimes we get humbled by God because we need to be humbled. But you know what? The better side of that is that if we humble ourselves before God, the Bible says that he'll draw near to us and we'll draw near to him. So humility draws us close to the Lord. So I pray that as you guys read through those scrolls, as you pray about a time that you guys can do this, I pray that you just would be in prayer with each other before you do this. And you ask God to truly speak to you on what this means and how this affects me and how can I do this in my life, you know, be humble before other people. So just encourage you guys just to do that. And then, Gene, what else we got? So...